The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. And today we're going to be discussing the Hudson Valley Power Authority Act, which was introduced by Assemblymember Sarah Hanna Shrestha and New York State Senator Michelle Hinchey, that would make Central Hudson a public power authority, and also the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act, that among other things would enhance public health and environmental integrity by dramatically increasing plastic recycling rates and reducing plastic packaging and plastic pollution in New York State. Our guest is Assemblymember Sarah Hanna Shrestha. She represents the 103rd Assembly District that covers most of Ulster County and I believe parts of Northern Dutchess as well. So, Sarah Hanna, welcome back to Healthy Ulster Radio. It's good to see you again.
Thank you so much. Very glad to be here because we have lots of exciting things happening in the state legislature.
Yes, and so we hear. So first, let's begin with the significance of the Hudson Valley Power Authority Act. First of all, with the basics, what is a public power authority and how does it differ from typical corporate-owned and operated utilities?
Right. So, you know, in New York State, energy is delivered by corporate monopolies that are in charge of their own respective service territories. And we have about seven of them, I believe. And Central Hudson is one of them. But we also have, you know, scattered throughout the state, smaller municipally owned public utilities, as well as cooperatives. And many of them came into being at a time when rural parts of New York were not being served by for-profit companies because they were just not profitable. And so these municipally owned entities came into being. And, you know, a lot of this happened under FDR around that time. So corporate monopolies answer to shareholders, and they have this, you know, marching drumbeat to produce profits every quarter. And every for-profit entity, you know, the number one priority is profit. That is the driving mechanism. So we really find, and this is nothing new because this debate has existed ever since electricity became available for mass consumption, that if energy is supposed to be for the public's good, which of course it is, because it's not very different from, you know, clean water, then it should not be in the hands of corporate monopolies and shareholders, because if it is, there are conflicts that are inherent to that arrangement, which harms people who use that service. So in that case, ratepayers. And this is true whether we're talking about high rates versus affordability, or we're talking about who is the entity ultimately serving. You know, is it serving communities or is it serving businessmen? And what kind of energy is being provided? Is it clean or is it dirty energy that is harmful? And how committed are these entities to, you know, lead the green transition? And we find that for every question of this nature, the conflict between the profit motive and the public good makes it so that a corporate monopoly is not really able to function and deliver as the best party responsible to do this. But if we create a community institution, which is what we want the Hudson Valley Power Authority to be, and task it with the goal of servicing ratepayers, and that means specifically providing low rates, providing reliable service, making sure the bills are easy and correct, which is something we've taken for granted, making sure the energy is clean, making sure it's investing in community benefits, making sure it's addressing labor protections and environmental justice. If we create this community institution, we can empower it through the state legislature with all of the tools and the resources and the authority it needs to be able to do this job and to excel at it. We can design this entity for a specific task. So that's what we're doing, which we cannot do with a corporate monopoly.
Mm-hmm. And the word monopoly, I think, is really key here, right? Which is even worse than just corporate ownership, because, you know, all corporations have, you know, strive to generate profits and serve their shareholders. And if they don't do, and with respect to customers, if they don't do the job right, or don't deliver quality services and customer service, customers can go elsewhere. Not so with the utility, right? I mean, the fact that they're a monopoly, there is no choice. And we saw that, you know, recent problems with Central Hudson, right? They went from arguably one of the best utilities in the country to something much less than that, you know, and especially when they introduced their new billing system, which was really a train wreck of a rollout. And they really, and, you know, their service issues have been questionable, I think, safe to say. So you mentioned a couple of benefits of the Hudson Valley Power Authority. Can you go a little bit more into detail on those things, and also how it might impact the regional community as a whole, and maybe economic development as well?
Yeah. So first of all, you know, public utilities come with advantages that are just, you know, set up to be able to achieve these goals at the start. One of them is, if you create a state authority, you know, taxpayers don't have to pay for it. They can issue bonds. They can finance debt at low interest rates. So state authorities are much more independent when it comes to financing. They don't have to rely on annual funding through the budget, for example. So one thing is, we already have examples of existing authorities that are quite successful. And, you know, New York Power Authority is one of them that was, again, created under FDR with the intention of protecting New York's hydropower from profit interests. You know, even back then, this was the cause of alarm for FDR, which is why he created New York Power Authority. And this is an example of an authority that is much adept at doing a role compared to its private counterpart. And it's also financially very lucrative. It is, you know, it has high rated bonds and it's self-financed. And in fact, the state uses it as a slush fund to move money around because they are financially sound. So, you know, the structure itself comes with benefits to make these types of public benefit corporations, is what they are technically, to make them viable. Now, when it comes to monopoly, you're exactly right. If people want to move off of Central Hudson, they have to move to a different location. They have to move their residency to a place that has a publicly owned utility, you know, or another utility.
Or off-grid.
Or off-grid. That's right. So the reason they are a monopoly, and this goes at the heart of, you know, that inherent conflict that I talked about, is when you have a delivery infrastructure. So Central Hudson, main service is delivery of energy. They don't generate energy. They do a little bit of transmission, but their main task is delivering energy from the grid to our buildings, our homes. And you cannot have multiple copies of the delivery infrastructure, because it wouldn't make sense. That would be like having multiple copies of the highways. You know, one set of highways is owned by one company, another set of highways is owned by another company. That would make no sense. You can't have duplicate copies of gas pipes running under the city of Kingston. So by necessity, you know, they have to be a single entity. And if it's a single entity, then they should not be a for-profit corporation. That should be public. So, you know, that is the inherent conflict as well, is that we don't, there just is no way that a corporate monopoly can serve this job that needs to be done by one entity. So that's the foundational challenge that we want to answer with a public power entity, which is owned by the public and in the service of communities.
And as you know, over 30% of the world's electricity generation is now powered by renewable, which is reducing climate warming emissions and helping to improve air quality and related health conditions. So since Central Hudson is in the business primarily of delivery, I mean, how are they doing in this regard? Do they have any incentive to help people conserve, use less energy, or how are they doing in general? Do they have influence in how the power is generated, whether it's renewable or fossil fuel power?
So the way it works is the state has a wholesale market that's managed by NYISO, which is a quasi-governmental entity. And whatever exists in that wholesale market is primarily what utilities like Central Hudson have access to purchasing. So the problem in New York is that our wholesale market has not had a ton of renewable energy outside of the legacy hydropower, which we have, which we cannot and should not necessarily scale up, because hydropower comes with consequences to our environment. And what we really want to focus on are solar and wind. So the reason we passed Build Public Renewables Act last year, as you know, is because we want to inject a lot of green, renewable, affordable energy into this wholesale market that Central Hudson and other utilities would then be able to purchase, because their mandate really is to procure the cheapest and energy for their ratepayers. Now, in terms of the political climate, you know, Central Hudson has lobbied along with its other utilities to be able to generate energy themselves. We don't like this idea, because we don't want to, you know, expand all of the problems of corporate delivery system to also the generation side. Right. So right now, generation is done by separate private developers, and now as well as New York Power Authority with its new authority that we passed last year. So Central Hudson and other utilities even lobbied against Build Public Renewables Act, even though this law is actually going to help lower their supply rates once it's, you know, once its implementation is underway. So you can see, you know, politically, in the way that utilities lobby, sometimes they will lobby against their own self interest, because they're not getting a piece of the profit in that process. So that's a problem. And in terms of its commitment to going clean, I'm personally not convinced. You know, it's easy enough for them to say, well, the wholesale market doesn't have enough renewable energy for us to purchase, which is true. But we also don't see, for example, through the proposals put forward through this rate case, a genuine, serious commitment to scaling down and phasing out the gas infrastructure. In fact, when utilities ask for rate increases, we always see a plan to put more money into this infrastructure. And this infrastructure is going to be stranded assets, but ratepayers will have to pay continually for it for several years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the relevant bills to this piece is the New York Heat Act, which I actually just did a rally this morning in Albany, because we're making a last push to pass it in the Assembly, as it's already passed in the Senate, but not in the Assembly, to replace the obligation to serve gas with the obligation to serve energy.
Sarahana, we want to ask you more about that, and also about the where this bill stands, and, you know, what you think the prospects are and time frame for possibly getting passed. But first, we're going to take a very short break, and we'll resume our conversation.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on Magic 92.5 WGHQ.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Today, we're discussing the Hudson Valley Power Authority Act that would transition Central Hudson into a public power authority, and also the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act, which would increase the amount of plastic that needs to be recycled in New York over time and reduce plastic pollution. Our guest is Assemblymember Sarahana Shrestha, and she is from the 103rd Assembly District, which is Ulster County and Dutchess. And Sarahana, tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Hudson Valley Power Authority Act. I know it was recently introduced by you and Senator Hinchey. What's going on behind the scenes in Albany? How does it look, and who's lobbying for and against?
Well, the against is pretty easy. It's all, it's Central Hudson has already made a statement with some misinformation about how this is going to cost ratepayers more and how we're going to lose property taxes. Neither of those things are true. But in terms of where it stands, first, this is going to be a long fight. But many things are long fights that we start in the legislature. When you introduce a bill, no bill arrives with a guarantee of passing. But the step of putting this blueprint in words and introducing it as a legislation is creating an opportunity for us to then create conditions to pass it. In order to pass it, certain conditions have to be created, and introducing the bill is the first step. We want to make sure that when we introduce a bill, that all of the pieces are thought of holistically so that they work together. For example, we cannot just say the utility needs to be public. We also need to make sure that it has a model for good governance, because without good governance, it's not going to be able to meet its goals. Likewise, without labor protections, it's not going to be the community institution that we are trying to create, So often what happens in the state legislature is people will fixate on just one of the pieces and then try to pass it as a standalone thing. And, during such quote unquote compromises, what often happens is the strength of the idea that would have made it successful in practice gets watered down, and many bills we pass are set up to fail. Many things we pass fail in implementation because we got rid of the guardrails and the details that would have made it successful. So we've put a very concrete vision that is complete. So that's something that we have been working on for almost a year, really, but we've been thinking about this idea for, more than 3 years, and many people have thought about it before us. But we worked with many experts and public power advocates from across the country to really make this the starting piece that we want to fight for. And now we have gotten a lot of interest from people who live in the Central Hudson Territory. Everybody is eager to learn how we're going to win this, how it works, which is why we're doing a Zoom town hall on May 30th, because the more information people have, the more empowered they will be to fight for it. But I think we can think of this introduction of the bill as the beginning of that fight. It's declaring that fight, and now we move forward. We are going to meet with all of the legislators who represent the service territory, sit down with them, address their concerns, explain to them how it works. Because the other thing is, this fight is historically not a partisan fight. In Ontario, Canada, it was the Conservative Party that pushed for public power and won. And it was the Liberal Party that opposed it and lost, you know.
Interesting.
So we want to make this a bipartisan fight, and we're already getting bipartisan interest, you know, from local stakeholders. So we want to involve people in our local governments, you know, in our local advocacy groups, your ordinary constituents. We want to involve everyone so that we can have a concrete momentum to push this idea forward. And ultimately, the person that we have to convince is the governor, and we have convinced her things before and won. So we want to do it again.
Wonderful. Yeah. And laying that groundwork and building the support, you know, I've as an elected official myself, I've seen instances where things get, you know, cooked in a hurry. And then all of a sudden people don't lay the groundwork. They don't build the support. And they just, you know, and end up into a firestorm of opposition. So moving on in about the 3.5 minutes that we have left to the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act, it has over 114 combined sponsors in the New York State Assembly and Senate. And, you know, as you know, plastics are a fossil fuel product. Less than 6% of plastics get recycled. Plastics break down into microplastics and nanoplastics that end up in body organs, animals, food sources, every ecosystem on the planet, causing a myriad of health problems. This bill would require 70% of plastics in New York to be recycled within 12 years and other provisions. So how big a deal is this? And what are you hearing about it in Albany?
This is a very big deal. You know, we've been trying to figure out a solution for all of the microplastic that is getting into everybody's bodies, that is creating a lot of health problems. And, you know, people have been talking about this for decades. So I'm very excited about the prospect of passing this bill this session, because that is the intention right now in the Assembly. It is out of the Codes Committee. It is out of the Ways and Means Committee. And right now it is sitting in Rules, which is as close as you can get to getting on the floor for a vote. And there is really a true intention to pass this bill this year. And the other thing is, you know, according to a new poll, a new Siena poll, 82% of New Yorkers say that single-use plastic packaging is a problem. And a bipartisan 67% of voters support this particular bill. So it is a very a popular idea. And we also reject this idea of chemical recycling in this bill, because, you know, the industry always comes with ways of prolonging its need. And that's going to be a good foot that's being set against so-called advanced recycling. That is just a way of curtailing the, you know, or bypassing the actual issue of plastic pollution.
So, Sarhana, before we run out of time, tell our listeners how they can learn more about what we talked about. How can they get in touch with you?
Yes. So to learn about our bill, go to HudsonValleyPowerAuthority.com. We are doing a town hall on May 30th. That's 3-0 on Zoom. And the URL to RSVP is bit.ly. So that's bit.ly. /CH, as in Central Hudson, /public-power. And we're going to go through the details of this bill. And once the session is over in the fall, we're also going to do some in-person town halls so that we can continue the discussion. And you can always reach out to our office through email, which is district103@nyassembly.gov. So that's our office's email. And then we also have our phone number, which is, let me just pull up here, 845. Let me make sure I give you the right one. 338-9610. And people are still having Central Hudson issues. So that if that's something that you are experiencing, definitely reach out to us as well. And we will be, you know, like I said, doing a press release on some of the things that we are able to win. And I'm hoping the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act is going to be one of those things.
Thank you so much, Assemblymember Shrestha. I really appreciate all of the work that you're doing on behalf of our community, the environment. We really, really value your representation and your hard work. So thank you. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week where you can learn more information about how to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.